How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're off and rolling here on a Monday morning edition of Sports Radio, TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 27th day of July, 2020. And it's kind of out with the new, in with the old, I guess, kind of in a roundabout way. JR, Simmer, and Stevie Bunda is in for the Vacationing Hammer this weekend. You are waking up to a stinking hot morning. In fact, last night at 10 o'clock, it was 28.9 degrees, which is the warmest it's been on any night at that hour in 9 years.
Wow. So,
whoa.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you survived last night, that's as worse as it's been if you have no air conditioning or access to a pool or whatever in 9 years. And it does not promise, unfortunately, to get any better, at least for a couple of days. Heat warning in effect for Ottawa. For at least, it looks like, the next couple of days. We're going to get up to a high later on today of 30 degrees with a Humidex reading of 40. Tomorrow, 29, Humidex at 37. We'll see if by midweek it cools down a little bit. But as you wake up this morning at 6:05 in the morning, it is already 26 degrees. As we say good morning to the lone holdover from last week's show. Sean Simpson, how are you this morning, Simmer?
Well, I'm excellent, and you're right, walking out this morning, it's just that soupy hot mix, and a couple of days last week, as it cooled down, I'm kind of walking out, you're kind of feeling fall in the air, not this morning, so ready to rock and roll, and good to have you back, and good to have the old King Kong in, and Hammer gets a very well-deserved break, right?
Yes, well, we'll be the judge of that, we'll see how it goes, yeah. I did notice this morning, as I always do, anybody who's taking a vacation in the summer, if you get up at this hour, or in the previous hour,
yeah,
dark. Dark today. How much changes in a week?
Oh.
We're 23 now minutes later with sunrise than we were at the peak just a month ago.
Yeah, almost didn't want to look at it, but I joked with it, and I know Hammer doesn't like to talk about it. But
well, he's not
out
here.
No, I know, but stayed out in Riverside South last week, and that would have been the first time in a couple of weeks as well. And as I made the turn out to get onto the main road, River Road, heading down, you know, the first there in June, you're just, I'm like, oh man, these skies are amazing, the sun's up, you're good to go, and you just kind of look over. And then even this morning, I know it's a little bit cloudy, but yeah, it's full on darkness, so time to adjust. And not a big fan, to be quite honest with you, that the old August is around the corner. It's almost like, hey, let's just let the summer go forever, or at least till things are back to normal, right?
It's weird you bring that up, because I was talking with somebody yesterday, and it's like, I can't believe it's the end of July already. Do you remember when things all started with the pandemic in March?
Yeah.
And it seemed like every day lasted 4 months?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Now time is just ripping by.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, well, I think we're able to, at least in our own minds. I mean, hey, traditionally it's summertime. We can justify that the world isn't normal. We can actually be in full denial. Like this is our time, but we don't do that after Labor Day. After Labor Day is a checklist of everything mental and physical, and if things aren't in place properly, no, it just ends up feeling a whole lot different.
All right. Bunda, how you doing? Welcome to the show. You're off last week as well. Spent a week at the cottage.
Yeah, some fishing, some relaxing time, some indulging in beverages. But yeah, lots of it was good. But does it feel weird, even with the fact that sports is already on right now? We're going to have hockey in a week from now. So will September really feel like September?
Yeah, nothing will feel like, nothing will be normal.
Weather-wise, it's just going to, you know, make us feel crappy, but
yeah.
You know, and I don't think it was planned this way, guys, because there is no plan. And, you know, the weekend we saw Sports Thursday. That was the first one in 133 days since the Sens played the LA Kings. The fact that the NHL hockey starts in August, I think back to the day of watching Canada Cups, watching the World Cup of Hockey, strangely enough, my mind can shift enough, even if the weather is crazy warm. So I got to say, as far as sports, guys, I'm pumped about the hockey. I'm pumped about the Raptors. So whenever that gets going, especially the Raptors playoffs, yeah, I really don't care about the calendar. You're probably right, Bund. It'll make for what we've gone through and the transition into fall, probably make people a whole lot happier if their team's playing.
You're not pumped about the Jays? Their debut on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not. I tried to turn on a little baseball as a reminder on Thursday night, and with my luck, the only thing I got, I'm like, man, that's a hell of a storm they got in Washington tonight, and it never ended. And I know for Lloydy and Hammer are really into the baseball. Lloydy in particular was just saying, hey, it was really hard to get your head around. Did you end up watching any of it?
No.
I was golfing on Saturday, and one of the girls in our group, which was weird, not weird, but she said, oh, Jay's just, you know, Tampa scored 4 there, and they're up 4-1, and I thought, that's interesting. Talk that someone's actually looking at a scoreboard, right? I haven't done that in a whole lot of time.
No.
So lots of Jays people, I guess, out there looking whether you'll hunker down to watch the games and finally found a home. Wasn't that a crazy story on how long it took them to find a place to play?
Yeah. Well, last week, it was Toronto to Pittsburgh to Baltimore to, I think there was somewhere else they were at least investigating to, finally in Buffalo. And now we find out over the weekend that, oh, yeah, they will be moving to Buffalo on August the 11th.
Didn't
yeah.
it seem like they really just didn't want to go to Buffalo? Like, Buffalo was first spot that was trotted out there, and then it turned out to finally come around to it.
Yeah, yep. and that's a problem. I mean, Buffalo gets heaped on enough. They're probably saying that, you know, Canadians are the nicest people on the planet. Do we really need to be going through this? But we have to understand, these are Americans that are representing our country, and they didn't end up wanting to go to Buffalo, so they don't go there. And what this reminds me, guys, is like an old movie where everybody on the ship has scurvy or something wrong with them, and you arrive into port and everyone's real excited to see you. Then they open up the hatch and they see what you got and they say, "Ah, you know what, time for you to head out to another port. We don't have any room for you." So I just couldn't believe that in a professional sport, so that the Jays themselves hadn't seen this coming and weren't more definitive pretty quickly, because I assume JR going to set up TV and going to set up everything in Buffalo, I mean, it has to be a bit of a task if it's not a major league park.
Well, the lighting system is the big thing, right? Which is why they were supposed to or potentially going to play as early as this weekend. They've got a home series, and I use the term "home" in air quotes.
Yeah,
against the Phillies this weekend. Well, they just figured out yesterday that they aren't going to be able to have the lights up, the enhanced lighting, to make it good enough for television for night games. It's not going to be in time. It's not going to be ready in time for this weekend.
Okay.
So they're not going to have their first home game in Buffalo until August the 11th.
Yeah.
So they will be a traveling road show between now and then. It's crazy this week. So the Jays play a road series against Washington tonight and tomorrow, and then play a home series against Washington Wednesday and Thursday, only the games will be in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got four games against Washington in Washington. Two of them will be road games, and two of them will be home games.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's probably a better thing. I mean, the less I have to move my equipment, move everything around, I'm surprised you can't do that on every homestand. Oh, I guess you can, because they're going to be playing other teams. And I would think, and I was saying this last week in setting up, one was TV, but for the training staff of these clubs and the amount of equipment you must have, I don't know if there was a truck wandering around North America with a Blue Jays logo asking where to set up shop. And with proximity to Toronto being in Buffalo, there's probably a bit of a relief, at least. Hey, at least that's a camp that's fairly close to home.
Right. So the Jays go 1-2 on their opening weekend. No surprise. It's always been a house of horrors for them in Tampa, and they got that first win on Friday, and you're thinking, okay, all right, looking good. And then Saturday's game was close, and then they blew it in the eighth inning, and then yesterday was just a disaster. So we'll get more into that and look ahead to the week ahead for the Jays and Major League Baseball. Already some interesting news on Justin Verlander and the potential that the coronavirus is wreaking havoc on the roster of the Miami Marlins, to the point where they didn't even fly out of Philadelphia last night. They're likely to be flying home. They were scheduled to play their first, or are scheduled to play their first home game tonight, but they're probably going to be leaving some of their players behind who have tested positive. So that is the, we'll call it for now, not the nightmare scenario, but certainly not a great start for Major League Baseball. There was always the potential that this could happen, but looks like the Miami Marlins are battling, we'll call it an outbreak at this point, of coronavirus within their team.
Yeah, imagine how crazy that is as well, because you look at South Florida, you look at basically the epicenter. How crazy is it that they're going to play their games there? They're going to fly teams in and out. And then you think, if you're Philadelphia, hey, you guys are the ones, chances are you probably had this when you left South Florida. You didn't get it in Philadelphia?
Well,
now we got to have you hang around in a hotel for our four players, right?
Yeah. The crazy thing is that Miami played Atlanta in every team had two exhibition games last week before the season started. They played Atlanta in their two exhibition games. Well, Atlanta on Friday, on the day of their first game, scratched both their starting and their backup catchers for suspected cases of coronavirus.
Yeah,
so you have to think that the potential of a link is there, right? You've got the two starting catchers for the Atlanta Braves, both potentially with the virus, and now it's perhaps running through the Miami Marlins clubhouse.
Yeah, and we
shows you how easy it can spread.
Oh, God, yeah. And we saw the cross-contamination with the Sens, and when this all started. Now, is there more awareness? Are you cleaning up? Well, that's a possibility, but we've said this for a long time with the baseball model, and I have to think, not that it's perfect, but for the NBA and certainly for the NHL yesterday, as teams flew to Edmonton and Toronto, has to be an incredible sense of relief, right? Hey, you get there, and almost the way you can deal with this, where you have a controlled environment and you've got 12 and 12 with 52 people, basically 600 in both spots, just a feeling of, okay, we got here. It's not perfect, but I sure like my chances to try to finish this thing off properly.
Yeah, it looks like everything is in lockdown, judging by the video, which came about on the weekend of big gates with big all blacked out and everything, that there is one side for the visitors and the other side, the inside, is for the animals.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which is the animals and which is the visitors to the zoo. But regardless, yeah, all the teams have arrived in Toronto and Edmonton. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will get into all the hockey stuff, which probably begins, crazily enough, with the Arizona Coyotes and what's going on with now ex-general manager John Chayka, who terminated his contract on the weekend. So the Coyotes, as they are going to be playing their first, well, it's not a playoff series, but we'll call it a playoff series, but their first games of importance, we'll say, since 2012, and they're doing it without their general manager, who quit the team, as they said, on the weekend. So we'll get into all that, all the hockey stuff. We'll get into some basketball, of course, as the Raptors get set to resume their regular season this weekend. We'll talk about the Blackjacks, played their first game on Saturday, and they've got another one tonight, a game you'll hear right here on TSN 1200 as they'll take on the Edmonton Stingers. So we got lots straight ahead. We're glad you're with us here on a hot and steamy Monday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Your hot morning already, 26 degrees on its way to a Humidex reading of 40 later on today. So great jumping off point to talk about hockey, right? Because we're all talking about hockey when it's going to be 40 degrees outside. But we are now, well, one day away from the first exhibition games that are each NHL team, now that they've all hunkered down in Toronto and Edmonton, is going to play one exhibition game at some point this week. And then the games will begin for real coming up this Saturday, including a game we'll have for you here on TSN 1200, your home for the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have the Blackhawks and the Oilers coming up 3 p.m. on Saturday. But the biggest story, Simmer, I think from the weekend was probably what's going on in Arizona, a developing story where general manager John Chayka has terminated his contract that had three more years left on it, an extension he just signed in November. On Friday, he terminated his contract with the Coyotes. The Coyotes put out a team statement on Sunday. And check out this wording, everybody. Mm-hmm. John Chayka has quit as general manager and president of hockey operations of the Arizona Coyotes. The club is disappointed in his actions and his timings, as the timing as the Coyotes prepare to enter the NHL hub city, where the team will begin postseason play for the first time since 2012. Chayka has chosen to quit on a strong and competitive team, a dedicated staff, and the Arizona Coyotes fans, the greatest in the NHL, end quote. So, not often you see a club statement, and listen, there are partings of ways between coaches and executive people with sports teams all the time, but very rarely do you see it put that strongly in terms of a team statement. So what's your read on what's going down in Arizona?
Well, sports-wise, is it not the last time we saw that? Was that the Red Blocks with Jamie Elizondo?
Yeah.
You know, hey,
that was one line only.
Well, you're trying to target somebody, JR, but as the story developed over the weekend, few things. It sounded like he was on the outs. And go back to last week, and between ownership, and I don't know if Rick Tocchet was involved, there was a meeting with Taylor Hall, and you don't invite the general manager. If I'm the general manager and I find out about that, I probably think, you know, it's probably not a real good situation here that I'm not there. But the fact that it looked like the club was going to move on from him, for him to walk away from his contract, I have no idea what he was making, but I'll tell you what, it'd be decent money. Like I'd say on a three-year deal, he's probably making $1 million a year on an extension. To walk away from that completely, I think is a dream for the team. I don't think it'll have much effect on the club right now, but you're certainly taking a shot at a guy that basically it felt like they wanted to squeeze out anyway.
Well, I would agree in part, but I think both sides have agreed that at some point since the pandemic started, and I'll just read you know, in part from a story that was published, a third party had reportedly asked the Coyotes about Chayka's availability at some point during the hiatus, after which the team granted him permission to pursue the opportunity, which is apparently outside of the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
So somebody phoned him up and said, "Hey, we got this tremendous offer. We want to talk to you about it." He goes to the Coyotes and says, "Well, can I at least talk to them about it?" And they hem and haw, and they eventually say yes. And it's at that point where I'm guessing that ownership with the Coyotes is kind of going, well, is this guy really all in on being with us?
Great point.
And they decide to I guess, move along, and he does the same.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at this from the outside. He is, from talking to people, a classy guy, certainly highly intelligent. I guess we can wage the war on, hey, this is a guy that built a hockey team on analytics. And to be quite honest with you, for how bad they've been, we get after the Edmonton Oilers quite a bit. You go through the drafting history of this club, it's been terrible. And when you look at their roster, how many players have come through their actual system outside of Keller and Chikrin and a couple of other guys? It's almost all trades, right? They got guys that they drafted high, they flipped them out, hasn't done a great job, but you're right. It's very curious, and I always wonder, just more than anything, you got Rick Tocchet and an old school hockey staff there, and I always thought, how does this really work between kind of Tocchet and that old school versus analytics and the new world? And obviously it's come to an end here, so we'll see. I don't think it's an effect on the club now, but what will they end up doing? And strangely enough, of all people, it's old Stevie Sullivan, who's now the acting general manager.
Yes. Chayka, by the way, did issue a statement as well yesterday saying, the past 4 years have been the most enjoyable of my life. I love our players, coaches, staff, and fans, and I very much wish I could be with the team in Edmonton. Sadly, the situation created by ownership made that an impossibility, end quote. So, you know, and as you said, listen, the track record, I think, is to be charitable, average of the work that he's done in Arizona. He's still a very young guy, still, as you said, very highly thought of, but, it, you know, depending, and I'm sure this story is going to come out at some point about what this, you know, this other offer is, and but if he ever just, and it sounds like it's outside of the NHL, if he ever decides to circle back, are there other teams that are looking at this and going, yeah, I don't know if I want to go all in on a guy who has, well, as the Coyotes have said, quit on his team.
Well, yeah, and that is with ownership. But I think what we're seeing here, and it's nothing new, and I tell the fun stories about Ted Leonsis, hey, we're seeing more and more. And a lot of this, and we rumors in New Jersey of how involved ownership is, and then you got Ray Shiro. Well, in this particular case, you have a general manager who's probably now knows what he's doing. And I say this all the time, sincerely, is that when you get these jobs, it takes you about 5 years to figure out what the hell you're doing. Now, can you get something going forward? But we're going to have ownership groups like this who mean well, but look to the Pegulas, look to everybody else now. Almost all of them are hands-on, and most of them don't have a clue. So they go through their whole cycle of making a bunch of mistakes, and they finally say, like Ted Leonsis, hey, I'm going to stay out of it. You go and do your thing and see if you can end up winning a Stanley Cup. So I think this is, it just really speaks to what modern-day sports is. And, hey, we see here in Ottawa, it's just a really difficult situation to have it all set up where you've got the owner that's like, hey, you go do your own thing. A lot of them want to be highly involved now.
Right. And maybe the best example of a hands-off owner, but who's kind of all in, and we've seen the success the team has had underneath him, is Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah,
everybody
much so.
Raves about Jeff Vinnick when he took over ownership of the Lightning, and he put all the financial resources necessary. They've always been a cap team, but you know, from Steve Yzerman, whom he hired, right? It was down to him and Pierre McGuire. It's from Steve Yzerman to now Julian Brisebois, and it's kind of like, here's the money, guys. You go and do a good job. And for the most part, other than winning the Stanley Cup, they've done a great job in Tampa.
No, you're right. And your dream, if you're sports, you know, running a team, is, okay, I want a wealthy owner. I also want somebody that has another job, that doesn't have idle time. And I'll say this, and I think this with the Pegulas, I think this with Ted Leonsis, almost all the time, they mean well, right? Like, you want to get in there. You want to deliver. In this case, in Arizona, you want to figure out whether or not the franchise is even viable. You go in Florida, you spend money, you want good things to happen, but then you become frustrated when it doesn't work. And as we know with professional sports, there is no quick fix. You have to do this properly. And I look at even the trades they made where they brought up Stepan a couple of years ago. He was trending the wrong direction. Sharmelson, you got Kessel away from a good leadership group. Like, I don't know. They almost feel like not a complete redo. But again, new ownership tried to fast track us a little bit, including the Taylor Hall trade, and probably now going to overpay him in re-signing.
Yeah, and as you mentioned off the top, the biggest flag that I'm sure that John Chayka saw in all this was last week there was a dinner meeting that he was not invited to between ownership, the new team president, who has zero experience in sports, and Taylor Hall. They don't know if Taylor Hall's agent was there or not, but of course Taylor Hall, they gave up a lot to get him. He's a free agent coming up whenever the hockey season ends. And the general manager of the team is not there. That's a pretty good indication to you that, hey, this isn't going in the right direction. If you're Taylor Hall, are you looking at this, Simmer, and are you thinking, Yeah, I don't know if I would what I'm going to be signing on for, if it's if it comes down to him for, if you're going to give me enough money and enough term, I'm in.
Well, no, but you're right. You'd look around, and for someone that may have the options, the real question would be, via his agent, how do you gauge the current market, right? And I'm guessing that someone's going to give him 7 years. I'm guessing someone will give him good money, but I don't know if it's as much of a layup as we've seen in the past. So, hey, do you look at this and say, I'd like to stay? Do you move on? But I think even Taylor Hall and some of the comments from Ray Shiro when he left New Jersey, remember him saying, hey, what do you think Taylor Hall wants? And I think he threw a couple F-bombs. He had no idea what he wanted, right? So, no, this is a pretty big mess. And I guess getting into the bubble and just focusing on hockey, and as I said, the manager for a team isn't going to have that much effect on what's going to happen with most of the clubs right now, but it does create a little bit of instability.
Arizona will play Nashville in the play-in series that will begin this weekend. Does it have, in your opinion, any impact at all, this whole drama on the actual play-in games?
Well, it shouldn't, you know, unless behind the scenes that the players feel affected. By the time you hop in, you get your layout of when the games are, what else you're doing. They've got a highly experienced staff with Rick Tocchet, Phil Housley, Johnny McClain. I think the players settle in, and then even, hey, having a former player and Stevie Sullivan now in relationships, I'm not sure. I'm sure Mr. Chayka was pretty friendly with most of the players, but no, I think once you hop in, and the question would be for Arizona, you know, what's the real buy-in for the players overall, even if the manager had been there?
Right. Lou in Hull texts at 12-1200, does the Phoenix fiasco open the door for Chris Pronger? Rumors what he was angling for a GM job. Well, yeah. Chris Pronger, of course, just left Florida to open up a new elite travel business with his wife, with Mrs. Pronger, who knows... never mind. I'm not even going to go down that road. Because I got good friends from Edmonton.
Yeah. But a lot of leisure travel going on right now. Exactly. That's the time you want to get out of the hockey industry.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. I don't know if I'm assuming he's putting a lot of money into this new venture, but I don't know if this was a way to get out of Florida. Yeah. I wouldn't see it, but I wouldn't, you know. I don't know what's going on in Arizona to say 100% that it couldn't happen.
Well, and I don't even know. This is, again, in respect, Chris Pronger came in, Thornton came in, they hired a bunch of people. They probably realized that Chris Pronger really didn't have a job. He's got an office. Nobody really knows what he did. Nobody really wants to fire him. You hope he goes away. Here's the way this works behind the scenes, though. You're Rick Tocchet, and I think, first of all, Rick has done a hell of a job. I was kind of leery when he got a head coaching job. That is a very well-coached, very organized team, very good penalty kill, power play for what they have. Now, they can't score goals at even strength. But if you're Rick Tocchet, right away, am I on the horn to a Chris Pronger or somebody else to come in as a manager? Absolutely. Because you're looking at this and understanding, if I don't get the right guy in as the manager under this new ownership, what the hell's going to happen to the coaching staff, right? So, no, behind the scenes, a name like Pronger or anybody else, so anything goes. Everybody's looking out for themselves right now, from ownership to the new president that wants to sell tickets to, hey, a highly experienced coaching staff.
We will put the questions about what's going on in Arizona to TSN Hockey Insider Dave Poulin, who's going to join us on the show coming up after 8 o'clock. It is 6:31. So as we mentioned, the teams have arrived in Toronto and Edmonton. All 24 teams traveled there yesterday. All, in fact, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, by the way, don't get to live at home. They got to go into the bubble like everybody else, and they don't get into there's two hotels being used in Toronto. There's Hotel X, which is on the exhibition grounds.
Yeah.
Top five teams by points percentage got put into the, I guess we're going to say, nicer hotel or the better digs.
Yeah.
Other seven got to slum it at the Royal York.
Yeah.
Where the Leafs, well, the Leafs is the hometown team, were actually the last team to arrive at the hotel at 9:30 last night. But everybody is in. They've got the fencing up with, you know, blacked out screening so the players can come and go. In fact, you can walk. There's, you know, anybody that's familiar with Toronto knows you can walk everywhere underground. You can actually walk from the Royal York down to Scotiabank Arena underground. They've got a big fence, I think, that runs through the middle of the pathway to keep a church separated from state, as it were. But from what you saw of the layout, do you think from the aspect of just keeping people out and keeping players in, do you think it's going to work?
I do. I have a lot of faith in the hockey players themselves. You locked in. Jarmo Kekäläinen on social media yesterday was showing some of the things. Yeah, I think there's a responsibility. I think teams hopping in right off the hop. sorry, we'll end up doing exactly that. So, no, I thought it was pretty cool how they set it up. My biggest question, I guess, is, God, I can't even imagine logistically from a training standpoint how you're going to handle the turnover of the dressing rooms when you're playing multiple games in the same day, right? I mean, at that, for the ACC, all I've ever seen that I've been there, there's a few closets and a few open spaces, but there's really only two active dressing rooms. So a lot of work for the trainers to turn these athletes around in the hockey games.
Yeah, and we'll see if the bubble environment as the NHL launches into it works a little bit better than what's going on in the NBA. And Lou Williams, if you missed this story, of the LA Clippers, was allowed out of the bubble to attend a funeral for a relative in Atlanta. So this was last week, and decided when he was in Atlanta that he'd like to go pick up some wings, and decided that he was going to pick up the wings at a strip club, where apparently he has
very good wings.
He said best wings in Atlanta. He's apparently tweeted this out before, but he is such a good customer that there's actually a wing recipe that is named after him, the Lou Will wing recipe at the strip club in Atlanta. So he didn't tell anybody that he went to the strip club, but he was there with a rapper who posted a picture on Instagram very briefly, but enough time that as people said, hey, isn't that Lou Williams? Should he really be at a strip club? But he said he just stopped by to pick up the wings.
Yeah.
But apparently they're long enough for a picture to be snapped. But anyway, they found out about it, so he is now into 10 days quarantine, back in the bubble, and he will miss the Clippers' first two games. But this is just part of a larger story of, you know, they're barely starting in the NBA. They haven't even started in the NHL. We got players, you know, pining to be on the outside doing what they normally would like to do.
Yeah, no, and you know what? I don't know if you want to be named or have your name on any food item at a strip joint, but hey, everybody has goals in life, and if the wings are that good, good for him.
Well, there was a food. It would be wings, though, right?
Oh, Bund, I know you would, but come on. You're a classier guy than that, hey? You don't want the King Kong on the menu, or do you? Hey,
hey! If it's my name's on wings, I'll accept it.
And with a handle like King Kong, that could be a good thing. So, I wonder from the Clippers side, like Kawhi Leonard is very quiet but very focused. If he has thoughts on wanting to take a run and win back-to-back championships, that internal leadership with every team and right from ownership of the Clippers, it'd be interesting to see how this is handled, because I think that at the end of the day, that's probably the only recourse that some of the teams will end up having, is just hoping you can pressure the players enough into acting normal.
Lou Williams hankering for some wings specifically from this strip club means he will forfeit $150,000. In salary by missing the two games. So that's when you kind of boil it all down, that's an expensive set of wings. You know, we're used to there was a time, kids, when you could get to, they'd have 10-cent wing night back in the day. Not so much anyway. The price of wings when you go to a restaurant now has exploded, and you don't get 10-cent wings anymore. But you also don't get, you don't also get wings that'll cost you $150,000.
10-cent wings, I remember 1-cent wings.
Yeah. Oh, God, wing night. Wow, Bundy, really? Where would that be? Because I'm thinking about the old Tools Tuesdays. That was 10-cent wings in the 80s. And I got to think for Lou, and I don't have the calculator in front of me, but a lap dance at $20, how many dances is he going to miss out in the future as well?
It's really, at the end of the day, the strippers are the big losers unfortunately. Lou will not have any dollar bills.
No more stimulus.
And depends on who you're asking.
I'm assuming that he gets free wings if you spend
no more. Oh, sorry, everybody.
But he, I don't have a problem. This is exactly okay. If you're back in the day, Dale Hunter would sit at home and drink a 24 before a game. Nobody cared. If you ever went out and were, it's all perception, right? Like if he's visiting with a family and he's loaded, nobody cares. But this just makes him look like a complete idiot, along with the rapper guy.
So. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we kind of went off on a different tack, but I'm not sure how I tied that all into. Oh, I guess the bubble environment, right? Yeah. Okay. So the teams have arrived. Exhibition games will start tomorrow. Leafs will play the Habs, by the way, tomorrow, and then the games will begin for real on Saturday. 5 games Saturday, 5 games Sunday, 6 games on holiday Monday. So with a long weekend ahead, You got nothing to do because, well, in a lot of cases, there is nothing to do. You can sit down and watch a whole lot of hockey.
And where's your appetite at? Where are you at for watching? I mean, are you even dialed into wanting to watch your Flames games? Or how are you feeling?
I have to say at this point, Simmer, I am struggling to kind of get wound up for this. I think when the games start, I will. You know, I'm all in on the NBA playoffs. I've always enjoyed the NBA playoffs as well. I think I'm going to be there. But if you ask me right now as I sit here and we've been doing a radio show for 4.5 months with no games.
Yeah.
And you would think, man, I cannot wait for the games to start. And I think I'll be there by the weekend.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here on a Monday morning and I'm kind of going, you know, if there were games tonight, you know, I'm just not completely fired up. I think I'll get there, but I'm not there right now. If I'm being totally honest.
No, and I found last week's information and talk a little bit of a lead up that's got me excited, but it's not the normal buildup of finishing off a regular season, getting into a playoff, and just when we look at the calendar, right? So I think there's a lot of people, and hey, I turned on that baseball last week and I'm not a big fan. When I see an empty stadium, it's hard for me to get excited, right? And now, fortunate it's playoffs, but until we all think I'd turn on our TV and really understand what this is going to look like optically, I think it's going to be difficult. I'm pumped for the Montreal-Toronto series just to see how that ends up going, but how it's going to look for the rest of it and what I really want to sit and watch, it's kind of the same feeling, but I do find the hype and at least talk about it helping a little bit, but I have no idea how I'm going to feel until I turn it on.
Yeah, and I think it also helps that we've got some news as well. It's starting to drift out, you know, players that look like they're going to be hurt to start and kind of who's playing with whom and all that stuff. That also helps return a sense of, I guess, normalcy to the hockey talk. It's not all about, you know, what coronavirus and, you know, what's clean and what's not clean and all that other stuff. It is actually about the games at the end of the day that I think that people do care about and are interested in. All right, we'll take a break. 6:39. Your thoughts always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. You can tweet at us at TSN at 1200. Keep the phone lines open for you at 750-1200. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the baseball story. The Blue Jays, boy, it looked like they had a chance to do some damage on opening weekend. Unfortunately, when it comes to playing in Tampa Bay, there's some sort of black cloud over the Blue Jays. Anyway, we'll get into their weekend. Justin Verlander, he already suffered a season-ending arm injury. We'll get you the latest on that and what's going on with the Miami Marlins. Up to 4 players testing positive for COVID-19. They may be left behind as the team travels home for their home opener today. So we'll get into all of that. We'll get into some basketball chatter as well. The Blackjacks played their first game on the weekend. We're going to talk to CEBL League President Mike Morreale later on in the show as well. Blackjacks, by the way, taking on Edmonton tonight, 7:30. A game you'll hear right here on TSN 1200. This morning, you did not watch the end of the TFC match, their round of 16 at the MLS is back tournament. They fall to the New York City Football Club by a score of 3-1. So TFC is out in the round of 16. So that's a disappointing return, but they were by far the second best team on the pitch last night completely. And this is a team they beat in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
But the MLS tournament is back, continues, but we'll be doing so without any Canadian teams left. All 3 now eliminated.
Yeah, and hey, for some of them, almost feels like you want to go home. Kind of curious how the Montreal story is going to play out. Is it Thierry Henry is the coach, right?
Yep.
I just early on wondering, I don't know, you know, these great players that want to coaching at this level, how's it going to go? They looked a little uninspired in their play, and I think for Toronto and some other teams, probably like, okay, we put our time in, maybe a little sense. It's a relief that you're also heading home at the same time.
Yeah. Also, Sophie Schmidt scored the opening goal of the match on a penalty kick, and the Houston Dash went on to beat the Chicago Red Stars 2-0 in the final of the NWSL championship. This is the Women's Professional League. They had a tournament out in, I believe it was Salt Lake. And how about this? They tested players, as all these kind of hub city tournament things have been going on. They tested players throughout. Not one player at this women's soccer tournament tested positive in the entirety of it. And we had a bunch of Canadians, by the way, but Sophie Schmidt being certainly the one that most Canadian soccer fans would know. We had a bunch of Canadians on the winning team of Houston, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, nice they're able to pull that off. And in the United States, with the build-up of women's soccer, hey, a lot of these names are just as well, if not better known than certainly a lot of the MLS players. So big event, nice they pulled that off. And no surprise both in the women's behavior, but at the same time, to be out told Salt Lake City and the respect that they're very Canadian-esque are the Mormons, so pretty good spot.
What is that? They like to have a lot of wives?
No, well, no, we don't have that. But they're just respectful. If I look state to state on different places that I'd want to try to pull something off in the United States, probably from the places I've been to, Utah and Salt Lake City would be on a short list just because there's just a lot of respect for people.
And the Premier League wrapped up its season yesterday with Man U and Chelsea. Grabbing wins to finish third and fourth and get Champions League berths for next year. Man U beat Leicester City, so the Foxes will finish fifth. They get a Europa League spot along with Tottenham. So the Premiership, and that, I tell you what, between the Premiership and the Bundesliga, the European soccer leagues, and I know Serie A as well, Juventus clinched the Italian League Championship yesterday. Yeah. They all got back to it with you know, little to any problem. I think there were a few cases, but did not appear to be a huge issue.
No, and even the way it was pulled off, angles in certain stadiums, and I only saw little clips, I think they're probably pretty excited. And this to the NFL, we'll see where the NHL and NBA playoffs go. But you recognize with these teams and with these leagues, are you missing out on money on a gate? Well, of course you are, and that hurts. But still, when you look at the sheer TV numbers and the global power and a time right now when people want sports, I'm sure soccer is very happy because there's still a lot of money to be made for them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 6:49, huge trade in the NFL over the weekend. If you missed the news, Jamal Adams, all-pro safety for the New York Jets, who had demanded a trade, got a trade. He's been dealt to the Seattle Seahawks for a package of draft picks, including two first-rounders. The Seahawks gave up a 2021 and a 2022 first-round draft pick, along with a third-rounder as well, and safety Bradley McDougal for Jamal Adams, who will go to the Seahawks and maybe start a new Legion of Boom. Perhaps he's a terrific player, but man, as he is... he's a potential divisive force within within a locker room. He forced his way out of the Jets. They ended up being able to turn it into some pretty decent assets and getting two first-rounders for him. He's a terrific player. Yeah. But, boy, oh, boy, you always worry a little bit, but I guess Pete Carroll worries less than anyone about bringing those types of players into your locker room.
Yeah, and a few things on that. Pete Carroll, what, 72, 74 years old? Most times you look at these things in the short term. You got Russell Wilson in the prime of his career. How can I win? And that is the problem, I guess, if you're scouting or making a trade, is finding out. Like, I look at Jalen Ramsey, and that's well documented. I'd be scared to death of him. That was two first-round picks that the Rams ended up giving out. And the case of this, could this be a Kyle Turner situation? Like, you have to understand what's gone wrong here, and why do you think the player, you already know he's a good player at 24 years old, why in coming to your team will be different? And now, as we've seen as well, they're going to have to double down on a big contract, right? I mean, you don't give up those kind of assets and then not end up extending him or paying him a top dollar. And is that going to make sense for the club?
Right. They've got two more years left. They have 1 year left on his rookie deal, and of course there's the team option for a second year as well, so they will have him for 2 years. But you're right, you don't give up two first rounders for 2 years of somebody. So he will. He is very much in the driver's seat as far as a negotiation goes, but I don't think you make a deal of that magnitude, Simmer, unless you already have some numbers that you think are going to get a deal done.
Yeah, no, for sure. And also, and the only reason I'm, because of your point that, hey, you always want to know what you're getting, but I could imagine that in that Jets circumstance of everything that's played out there, and again, an active owner, a crazy coach, general manager being out, just everything that's going on there, I can understand how an athlete has seen that. And also, the template's been set now, even more so between the NBA and the NFL. Players have realized that when they make these types of demands and go public, almost always now they're being moved, right? So it's a sense of power that you're not going to lock me down. I'm going to go somewhere else. And Seattle was one of the teams that was also on his list.
Now, a new negotiating or a CBA was brought about last week between the NFL and its Players Association, which, like all these other leagues, does give the players an option of opting out. The very first NFL player, and I think the only one so far, and I believe the deadline to put your name in to say you're not going to play in the coming football season is next Monday, is Canadian offensive lineman Laurent Duvernay-Tardif of the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion, announced on Friday night through Twitter and Instagram that he has chosen to opt out. His statement reading in part, This is one of the most difficult decisions I've had to make in my life, but I must follow my convictions and do what I believe is right for me personally. Being at the front line during this offseason has given me a different perspective on this pandemic and the stress it puts on individuals and our healthcare system. I cannot allow myself to potentially transmit the virus in our community simply to play the sport that I love. If I am to take risks, I will do it caring for patients. And of course, his story, well known. He is a, he hasn't done his residency, but he has his, he's on his way to becoming a doctor, has worked as an orderly in a long-term care facility in Quebec, and took on that job 2 months after winning the Super Bowl, and has, and rightfully so, been lauded for what he has done, and now choosing to turn his back on over $3 million in potential salary and a potential another Super Bowl to make $150,000, but that's what he'll make as part of the CBA. But continue to work on the front lines in the province of Quebec. So he's certainly getting lauded for that decision.
No, it is. And like you just pointed out, there's a guy that signed, a five-year contract and making very, very good money to make a decision. And common sense in players, and we're seeing things happen in sports where guys retire early. If you're looking around your locker room and the one guy that is actually a medical doctor has decided not to show up, probably tells you that there's a risk. And also, hey, his responsibility to stay in society and try to help out. Man, this is, like I say, that's a very strong statement because he's walking away from what are short careers in an offensive line and makes a whole lot of money. And that's a big hole for the Kansas City Chiefs at the same time.
All right, 6:54. Let's take you to bottom 10 opening weekend for the Blue Jays, Jays and Rays. Jays have scored in the top of the 10th to go up 5-4. But two on, and Kevin Kiermaier at the dish for the Tampa Bay Rays.
And it's shot up the right side back into the corner. Here comes Smith to tie it. Martinez hitting third. Linares will wave him home. Rays are going to win it. Safe at the plate.
Yeah, all I could listen to is that, and that's a television, that's Tampa Bay television, is that game is being played in Tampa. Is there's no background. You can hear some players in the dugout, but that's it. Can you imagine? You got a game-winning two-run double in the bottom of the 10th inning on opening weekend.
Yeah.
And normally you'd have the crowd just, you could hear that you would have the crowd just, you could probably, sense the not even sense it, you could listen to the crowd get louder and louder and louder as that a play unfolded instead. Nothing. But a big win, a big walk-off win for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, and normally in Tampa, a lot of the elderly people, you could hear them sleeping, and they got to wake them up and get them out of their
Dick
seat
Vitale,
to head home. No, this is for the athletes. I guess you could take yourself inside of, hey, this is like growing up, and you're playing on the park outside, but it takes, hey, that exchange of energy, as you said, and you get into playoff baseball. Boy, that's such a big part of it. Those Jays games, you're hanging on every pitch, and one inning lasts an hour. Doesn't end up mattering. And if you're a manager right now or running a team like the Jays, your fear, JR, has to be in a shortened season. Everyone's in it, but at the same time, if you start off a 5-15, you kind of look around and realize even with 16 teams making it, not a very good chance. And that's the spot you don't want to be in. Stay around 500, continue to sell hope, and just hey, give yourself a chance.
Yeah, you would, the Jays won game one. They were right in game two, 1-1, bottom eight. Before falling, giving up three in the bottom of the eighth to lose the game on Saturday, and then the game yesterday, up 4-0, up 4-2 in the ninth with their closer, Ken Giles, on. Unfortunately for him, suffering some sort of issue with his elbow. He had to be pulled from the game. They eventually give up the two runs to tie it and then lose it, as we heard right there in the 10th. And now we're going to find out probably today after an MRI how seriously injured Giles is, and if he was terrific as the closer last year. If it's as bad as it potentially could be, boom, three games into the season, you've lost your closer.
Yeah, and for any of the teams, you look at this and say, hey, from Verlander or any injury, was there enough done? Was there enough prep time? Have you put the athletes into a spot? And I've got to think as the NHL arrives into Toronto and Edmonton, JR, you pretty quickly not transition into pretending no one's going to get COVID, but really your training staff now focuses on actual hockey injuries, right? You're going to get out, now you're going to have to go right into games. Is it bad ice? Is it hot buildings now to try to keep the troops healthy. Everybody's in there doing their thing. Now do you figure out, hey, how are you going to handle some of the groin injuries and hip flexors and other issues that are going to come along?
Speaking of elbow injuries, no one has pitched more innings since 2005 than Houston Astros' Justin Verlander. He suffered some elbow discomfort over the weekend. A report came out yesterday that he was done for the year. He is disputing that. saying on social media, the report that I'm currently missing the rest of the season is not accurate. It's a forearm strain. I'm hopeful that I'll have time to heal and be ready to able to return soon. Thank you for all your well wishes. That was from Justin Verlander. Dusty Baker, the Astros manager, saying as well they'll shut him down for a couple of weeks and reassess at that point. If accurate, the report that is, Justin Verlander gone for the year. That's a huge blow to a very unpopular but still very good Houston Astros team.
Well, and I feel like for him, would you agree that he's very likable? But nobody is really looking at them and feeling bad. Anything bad that happens to the Houston Astros in a year like this, and if they don't end up making the playoffs, be a lot of people happy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, the other story we mentioned off the top of the show is what's going on with the Miami Marlins. They had an opening series against the Philadelphia Phillies. Yesterday, their starting pitcher was Jose Urena, was scratched just before the game because of a suspected coronavirus issue of some sort. Don't know if he was exposed to it or if he's tested positive for it. Since then, the Marlins have made the decision. They did not fly out of Philadelphia to fly home for their home opener today. They did not do that last night. They're going to wait until today. And I'm guessing that they are testing all the players, and there is the worry that several players, maybe as many as four, have contracted COVID-19 and will be left behind in Philadelphia to be, I guess, quarantined, while the rest of the team will travel on to continue their baseball season. This is probably the worst. Well, it is not probably is the worst case scenario for Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Is when you have isolated cases are going to happen. They're going to happen in all the sports, NHL, NBA, for sure. Absolutely. Your biggest worry is an outbreak within a team that can take several players potentially out. And what do you do then? If you're a league and you've got a team that doesn't have enough players to legitimately field a team. What do you do at that point?
Yeah, well, if you've got rosters of 60, how far do you go deep for the credibility of the sport? The other thing, Jerry, has to be looked at is that right away we saw the state of Pennsylvania didn't want anything to do with the Toronto Blue Jays. How do you explain to your taxpayers, as everything in the United States is kind of state-by-state based, that these Miami Marlin players are coming into your community and all of a sudden having tested positive for COVID? I wonder, state to state, are we going to start to see more issues with more teams where they're like, listen, thanks, but no thanks. Go figure out somewhere else to play.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eye on that situation. Again, the Marlins are scheduled to fly out today and play their home opener later on tonight. Blue Jays, by the way, have moved on to Washington. They've got a series against the Nationals, which will start tonight. 6:05, first pitch, Tyler Thornton will pitch for the Blue Jays 1-2 to start the year. We'll take a break. 7 o'clock, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA.